Welcome to Polka Dotsie's Body Love Podcast, the podcast where we talk about all things health, fitness, and body positivity with your host, Chloe Pedley.
Thank you so much for tuning in. I am chatting with Jodi Arnott today, and I'm super excited about this because Jodi is another one of my heroes, and I am getting to talk to some awesome people. Jodi is the director of multi-award-winning Healthy Balance Fitness and is the co-founder of The Moderation Movement. She's almost ready to celebrate 20 years in the fitness industry. During that time, Jodi has enjoyed many roles, including old school aerobics instruction, which, by the way, we're going to talk about in a minute, gym management, personal training, group training, running, coaching and lecturing in Cert 3 and 4 in fitness. She is now focusing on how our body image affects our relationship with movement and presents to fitness professionals, parents, students, and the general public on how they can have a more peaceful relationship with physical activity and their own bodies. She works with the Butterfly Foundation and is in her final year of her Master's in Counselling at Monash University. Jodi, you are a powerhouse woman. Like, that is an impressive resume, and I am so excited to have you on the show today. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Chloe. So excited to be here.
Yay! Okay, so tell me a little about Healthy Balance Fitness and how it started, and why are you different to all of the other fitness companies that are out there? And
sure. So Healthy Balance Fitness was, well, it was sort of born out of the fact that I loved group fitness and I loved taking groups in the park, and yeah, just adored it as it was something different to personal training and gave me a different energy. So myself and somebody else, Amanda Hall at the time, we decided to put it together and said, like, let's expand and create some different locations for this. And it kind of just was born out of that. So Amanda ended up leaving the fitness industry for a while and then coming back later. So Healthy Balance landed in my lap, and it was since about 2003, and it's been in the format that it's in now. So we've had different locations. We run group fitness, we run boxing, we run running programs, and I have a team of trainers who are absolutely awesome and go out and instruct those classes in, it's very grassroots. It's like parks, community venues, like halls, scout halls, church halls, that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, very basic, but it's all about community. It's about enjoying exercise and, yeah, just connecting and loving it rather than making it a chore. So,
and you've got a really interesting and what I think is a fantastic approach towards getting people to move their bodies. So tell me a little bit about that, and how did you get into the body positive fitness movement? Tell me about that.
Sure. So when I first started in fitness, I think the reason that even drew me to be a personal trainer in the first place was I loved helping people feel good about themselves. So whenever, you know, anyone felt good about what they were doing, I just wanted to high five them. And, you know, like, I'm the sort of person who cries at the Olympics, you know, when everyone's doing their absolute best. And, you know, so I loved all of that. And I wanted to help people to feel amazing about themselves, whether it's, you know, achieving their first push-up or no matter what it was, I just could see this scope for helping people feel good about themselves. But the longer I was in the fitness industry, the more I realised that a lot of the messaging and a lot of the things that even I contributed to were making people feel worse about themselves and not better about themselves. And there's this real disconnect, I think, with people feeling really bad about their bodies and trying to solve that through exercise. And the longer I was in there, the more it just didn't sit well with me. And I realised that I was going to need to change the way I approached it. I was going to need to learn a lot more about body image. And I just saw that the industry was becoming more and more about aesthetics rather than about true health outcomes. So, yeah, I just, you know, did lots of research. You know, I was really inspired. I saw Tyron Brumfitt present back at the Women's Health and Fitness Summit many years ago, and that was around the time that I was thinking, oh, we really need to look more at body image, we really need to think more about this and change the way we do things. And I saw her speak and I thought, yeah, look, I want to speak about this as well. I want to learn more and I want to really change the way that I do things. So since then, it's really been you know, no going back for me. There's, you know, it's all about how we feel and how we function, and it's really about taking the aesthetic side out of it. And, you know, we'll talk more about, you know, how we can really heal our relationship with physical activity and our own bodies. Yeah.
I think that is absolutely incredible. And I mean, obviously the work that I do with Polka Dotsy is very much in alignment with that philosophy, and getting people to move for the sake of being healthy and feeling amazing and really nailing those goals. Like there's nothing quite like it as a trainer. And I think that what you're doing is absolutely phenomenal. So I guess we have this shift in our industry, and I was talking to Michelle from Mish from the Women's Health and Fitness Summit the other day, and she's seeing it too. So there's people like yourself who are really pushing a healthier and more grounded approach to movement and to our bodies and to how we look at food and how we look at movement. If you could change the world, Jody, what would that look like?
Ah, wow. Where would I even start? Giving me this big magic wand, I'm going to wave it everywhere. But I think the first thing that comes to mind is I would love that everyone just have this idea that body diversity exists and that is a really good thing.
Yes.
I think that if we all truly embrace that, there'd be so many less problems. There'd be less body image issues. There'd be less issues about people trying to constantly change their body to fit a stereotype. We just realise that we're exactly okay as we are in every point in time. So I think that would be the first thing that I'll change with that big magic wand. Yeah.
I think that's really beautiful, actually. And you've sort of touched on this, changing people's relationship with movement. Tell me about that. Wow. this is really exciting for me. Like this is awesome. So
yeah, look, I guess the best way to look at it is to maybe give you some 6 tips, give people, and we'll go through those, but some main tips. So as part of what I do with the moderation movement is that we talk about intuitive movement. And intuitive movement is different to, you know, workouts or exercise in that it's much more looking inside for your body, for your own needs and signals, rather than trying to stick to external rules and ideas about what exercise should be. So some of the ways that we can look at being more intuitive and healing that relationship with exercise is these 6 tips. So the first thing is to really think of it as movement rather than exercise or a workout, because a lot of times people will say to me, oh, well, only certain types of, like only running counts, walking doesn't count. Or they'll say, yeah, or they'll say, you know, it only counts if it's 30 minutes. Like if I only do 15 minutes, it really doesn't count. Or I have to do it until I'm sweating and I'm out of breath or it doesn't count. Now this idea of it not counting, I think, well, count towards what? And a lot of times people will go, I'm not really sure. But then when we pare it down, they sort of say, well, count towards burning calories or count towards changing my body or count towards, and it usually comes back to sort of a diet type thing. Mm. So what I like people to, first of all, the first tip is to really think of it as movement rather than exercise or a workout, because all movement counts towards our health. All movement.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that way, then we start to increase the range of options for ourselves. We start to increase what we might enjoy to do. And so, you know, gardening, of course gardening counts. Of course just walking down the street to the post office box and back counts. Of course it all counts towards our health. So I think once we look at our language a bit, we start to then broaden our options. So that would be the first tip. I think also we need to really stop treating movement like a diet. So, yeah. So what happens is people, they think about calorie burning. And so that really changes. It changes the type of activity people choose. So like I said before, people say, well, if I'm going to spend 30 minutes, I better run rather than walk because that'll burn more calories. So they're changing what activity they're choosing. They might not even like running. So
having a punishment.
Yeah, they're really forcing themselves into trying to do, that because it's calorie burning. The other thing that it really changes when we just focus on calories is it changes the duration that we do. It really pushes us to go harder, longer, faster. And that's because we want to burn more calories. And what that does is it takes us away from really thinking about our own bodies. You know, our knee might be hurting. You know, we might be feeling really fatigued. We might be sick that day. But the calories, we've got to burn more. We've got to burn more. So it takes us away from listening to our own bodies and making it all about that number, that count. And I've seen that so many times, you know, people going onto the treadmill at the gym and just going like crazy until a certain number comes up and then they know they can get off the treadmill. But, you know, that really takes us away from, well, how does my body feel? And am I even enjoying running on the treadmill? And, yeah, so that is a really important part of not only healing our relationship with exercise but also reducing our risk of injury and fatigue and all these awful things that come with that bad relationship with exercise.
And getting more from life. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, movement is meant to give you more, not take it away. So.
Yes. And when we turn movement into a diet, what does it do? It just takes away from our life rather than brings anything towards it. So, and then the other thing is we have to stop thinking of exercise as penance for food.
Yes.
We don't need to earn our food. Because we are alive and breathing, we need food. So, you know, I just really want people to take that away and realise that they don't need to earn a piece of chocolate cake. They can just have a piece of chocolate cake.
For sure.
So, yeah. So once we take the calorie side of things out of and the food compensation side of things out of movement, we can be much more open to explore different intensities, different durations, different activities. And just really think about, well, what do I feel like? What makes me feel good rather than making it a diet?
Absolutely. If you want to roller skate, roller skate. If you want to dance, dance. If you want to jump up and down on the spot, whatever ticks your boxes, right?
Yesterday I did lounge room dancing. I mean, you know, and if someone was saying, you know, does that count? Well, then probably they wouldn't think lounge room dancing counted. But did it make me feel awesome? Did it really energize me? Yes. Did it make my dog stare at me like I was a weirdo? Yes.
But that's what life is about. And you know, if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. So.
Exactly. So I think that can really help. You know, we know, and most people, when you talk to them about dieting, they say, yeah, diets don't work. Well, okay, let's stop making exercise a diet as well. So,
absolutely.
And then look, I think tip number three would be to really practice listening to our body and responding. We've been so used to taking external advice, external rules, external, this is what I should do. You know, we get these messages all the time and we really lose touch with what do I like, but what also makes me feel good? What can I do right now at this point in time?
Which is, yep, we're still.
If we can really tune in to our bodies, and this is part of being mindful as well, it's really tune in to, well, how do I feel today? Do I have lots of energy? Do I feel really stiff? Do I have any injuries? Am I feeling unwell? Do I have lots of time? Am I feeling stressed? You know, we need to take all of these things into account and then try and respond in a way that, okay, well, is movement appropriate or is rest appropriate?
Absolutely.
If movement is appropriate, what kind of movement? What do I want to do? What's going to suit me today? And I think if we can really try and listen and respond in the best way we can, we're going to be so much better off and it's going to be so much more sustainable and so much something that we're going to actually want to do than if we're trying to stick to those rules all the time.
Absolutely. I think that's a really fine distinction there as well, because coming back to the point of what type of movement, maybe we're not going for a run today. Maybe we're going to stretch. Maybe we're going to walk in the pool. Maybe we're just going to spend 5 minutes looking after our body, rolling it on the foam roller, whatever it is that helps us.
Exactly.
I think that's such a healthier approach than punishing ourselves, going to the gym constantly for the sake of whatever it is that we're trying to achieve. So
sticking to some idea that this many sessions per week is correct and this many, you know, this type of intensity is correct, and what, you know, what's best for us is really listening and responding.
For sure. Absolutely. I'm 100% on board with that. I think that is such a powerful shift in mindset. So
yeah. And it really makes a difference. I know myself when I used to, I mean, you know, I called healthy balance fitness, you know, balance was in the title for a reason. I was always on board with balance. So mm-hmm. in the past, you know, I always used to say, yes, yes, balance is really important. But I used to think that balance could be prescribed from the outside. I used to think, I can write you a balance program and it would have lots of recovery and it would have lots of rest in there. And to the eye, like when you look at it, yeah, it was balanced. But true balance can't be dictated from the outside. We have to really listen to ourselves, because what's balanced for one person is not balanced for someone else. And when I really got that and started incorporating that into my own exercise, it made a world of difference, you know, in how often I had to go to the physio, in how my back was. My back was so much better. I didn't have as many injuries. I was just, you know, so much better off when I wasn't doing this external idea of balance, which was still, you know, what someone would consider a balanced program, but it wasn't listening to my own body.
Absolutely. Healthy balance fitness saves you money.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it's about knowing that balance can't be dictated from the outside. So Absolutely. Let's listen more. But yeah. So tip number four would be to set goals that have absolutely nothing to do with appearance change or weight. That can be really controversial. And I know when I've spoken with fitness professionals before, they all go, oh my goodness, what is she saying?
How do we market that? How do we
exactly.
They can't sell that program.
But if they really looked around, they'd see plenty of people like yourself who have really successful businesses and who are body positive, and they're, you know, they're weight inclusive rather than, you know, trying to equate health and weight, you know. Plenty of successful businesses out there.
Absolutely.
So, look, it's not just, you know, a nice thing. It's not just something that I'm saying because it's lovely. The evidence really backs it up. So the evidence shows that people who exercise for intrinsic reasons, so, you know, developing a skill, improving competence, enjoyment, feeling good, they mm-hmm. have a much higher adherence to those who do physical activity for extrinsic reasons, so weight loss or appearance modification. And the evidence also shows that people who are focused on appearance change when they exercise, they are much more, they suffer social physique anxiety much more. So, and they, you know, so they're more likely to quit and they're more likely to feel bad about their bodies. But the whole reason why they're exercising is to feel better about their bodies. So, yeah, it's interesting.
It's a catch-22 situation.
It is. And look, I can send you through the evidence if you want to add that to the podcast notes or anything.
Do you know what? I would absolutely love to, because at Polkadotsy we're all about, like, we back up what we say. It's all about science. So if we can go like, science, bitches. I'm going to beep that out.
But I totally agree. Yeah. So, you know, it's not just nice and fluffy and lovely. It's actually evidence-based that setting goals that have nothing to do with our weight or appearance are going to help us sustain our physical activity over our lifetimes. We're going to be able to enjoy it more. So
it makes perfect sense. Like, even from a fluffy, as you say, perspective, if you're moving because you love doing something, you're going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Because you love it. It makes you feel good. It uplifts you. Yeah. There's other reasons as opposed to what size jeans you're wearing.
Yes.
And whether or not you can fit into a certain pair of whatever. So yeah. I don't know. It seems so logical and sensible to me to just find something you love doing and do more of that.
Yes. Yes, totally. Yeah. Exactly. You've got it.
And for the personal trainers out there, this is so easy to teach. It's so easy to help your clients achieve. It's not something that you have to be afraid of. Like, as much as it might seem more simple to market a summer shred program, wouldn't it be better if you had your clients for life doing something that they absolutely love doing and helping them feel amazing about themselves?
Yeah, and that they're actually going to sustain, because we know that summer shred program even if people do actually, you know, lose weight, they're, you know, the evidence shows us that they're likely to put it on and more, and it's just a matter of when. So, and look, we know that there are benefits, immediate benefits to one exercise session, which is mood. So we can boost our mood in one session of physical activity. But we can't change our body in one session of physical activity. So what happens is people can become really demotivated. If all their focus is on how they're going to change their body, they do one or two sessions of movement and they think, oh, this, there's no point. My body hasn't changed. I don't want to do this. It's really demotivating. Whereas if they were focusing on how they felt, then after one session, they're going, awesome. They just want to do more.
I know. Release those endorphins.
Yeah. So, you know, even as a fitness professional, there's so much you can do with that, right? Really focusing on those immediate benefits for clients rather than, you know, and just steering away from the weight and appearance changes. And you can do that. You can role model that so easily in class by what you talk about and what benefits and improvements that you point out and commend people for. Instead Absolutely. Of making it about weight or appearance, you just make it about all these other amazing things that the clients have achieved.
I know. Hey, look at you. There is no way that you would have been able to run that hill last week. High fives. That's awesome. What an achievement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Check it out. Like, that weight is phenomenal. Well done you. Look how far you've come.
Yeah.
Or how are you feeling chasing around after your kids? Have you got more energy?
Yeah.
Is that cool? Like, are you getting better sleep? There are so many, like an infinite spectrum of reasons to move.
Yeah. Yeah. And those reasons will happen quite quickly. Like those benefits will happen quite quickly. And I think there's, you know, if we keep making exercise about chiseling our bodies and appearance change, we're really, I don't know, we're underselling it. We're really just, it's the wrong focus.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing, and we've touched on this a few times, so point number five is to choose activities you enjoy.
Yes.
Like, it's a no-brainer, right? Nobody wants to be forced to do punishment, you know, to do things that they hate. But there are so many people out there doing that because they think that that's what they should do to burn the calories, or that's what they should do because that's, you know, the quickest way to get fit, or, you know, that's the latest thing. But really, just, you know, choosing what we enjoy is going to bring so much to our lives.
What do you enjoy, Julie? Like, what's your favorite way to move?
Do you know what? My favorite way to move is walking. And back when I first started as a trainer, I used to be embarrassed to say that because back then, you know, everyone, I used to sort of think, oh no, but, you know, it doesn't count, and, you know, I should be more hardcore because I'm a trainer. And I know there's a lot of other fitness professionals who hear that, and something, it'll strike a chord with them. They'll go, oh yeah, I thought I was meant to be super hardcore as well because I'm a personal trainer. But it's like, I love walking, and I've got a dog, and we walk everywhere together, and that's my absolute favorite thing to do. It's just walking. And then I also enjoy running as well, and I run with my dog, and I enjoy dancing, especially lounge room dancing. And I've done all different kinds of dancing. I've done belly dancing and salsa, and I've done hula hoop, and I've done, you know, all different kinds of body kind of movement stuff, and all very fun. So, but yeah, mostly what I do is walking, and I love it.
And that's incredibly awesome. Like,
yeah.
Pet bugbear of mine is the burnout that personal trainers face from thinking that they have to be hardcore, and it breaks them. It literally breaks them.
Yeah, totally.
So we are, on average, we last 18 months in this industry.
Yes.
And I anecdotally would say that a lot of it has to do with burnout and injuries and just not being able to sustain the hardcore mentality of what's your excuse?
Yes. Really, it's living up to this stereotype. Basically, you look at a Fitspo meme and that's what a fitness trainer feels like that they have to live up to.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous pressure. And when I look around, all the best trainers are not those people.
Mm.
People that we employ at Healthy Balanced Fitness, they're the people who just love moving and love helping other people to love moving.
Which is so empowering. I just think that's awesome. So awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't hire them because they look like a Fitspo meme or they act like a Fitspo meme. I hire them because they care about people. Mm. They know their stuff and they're just passionate about encouraging people to feel and do their best.
Which, what more can you ask? Like, seriously, there aren't very many of us who are ever going to be bodybuilders, fitness models, or Olympic athletes.
No.
But the rest of us have to drag this body, the only one that we get, all the way to the end.
Yes.
It has to last us. So.
No. And do we want to drag it, or do we want to skip and hula hoop and walk and garden and swim away?
Go on cycling tours when we're in our 90s and still be able to keep up with the people in their 20s.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. But it's an aspirational goal. It's not unachievable. So.
Yeah, it's just about doing what we enjoy, but also doing what our bodies can do and what we enjoy, what we, you know, what's appropriate for us at any point in time. Yeah, it's just we need to think about it in a new way.
For sure.
Yeah, and so the last point that I come to is that I think we really need to reflect on this often, that our fitness and our physical activity program doesn't define our worth.
Oh my goodness. Now I'm not showing the video, but I totally just fist pumped there. I might publish this very privately.
Yeah. So we are all valuable, amazing, original human beings, whether we're active or not, whether yes. we are, you know, and healthy. We've got this idea of being healthy is good. I mean, first of all, it's very complex. What is healthy? But whether we are in good health or not, we are really valuable as human beings. We are enough exactly as we are right now. So we don't have to yes. do a certain exercise program to prove that. We don't have to run a marathon to prove
no.
that. No. We don't have to do a certain number of burpees or push-ups to prove that.
No.
No. No. And even for people who choose or cannot do any physical activity, they are worthy exactly as they are right now. So
yes.
Yeah. And I think as fitness professionals, we need to really remind ourselves of that.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I think it's something that we all need to take intrinsically, but it's also something that we need to remind our clients of. It's something that we need to remind everyone that we meet because, yeah, yeah, great, it's awesome if you can do burpees, but that has nothing to do with you as a person.
Yeah, yeah.
At all.
Yeah, and when people get a bit confused and it gets self-worth gets tied up in our physical achievements, our, you know, fitness achievements, that's when I see things go off the rail. That's when we start seeing exercise dependence. That's when we start seeing people overtraining because they're, no matter what, they've got to make that marathon. It's like, yeah. Well, maybe your body's telling you you're not ready for the marathon this time, or maybe your body's telling you that a marathon is not for you, and that's all okay. But if you hang your self-worth on that, that's where things can get really tough for people.
And that's, I think there's this whole, I mean, fitness does alter our mood. We do see the positive effects of it, but if we're using it as a crutch to define our self-worth or to be our only mental health strategy when we get injured, which does happen yes. when fitness goes away, if we can't train, we need other ways of defining our worth. We need other ways of feeling good about ourselves. And if that's all we've got, then we're pretty screwed. So
yes.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. And, you know, quite a few years back, I had a back injury that stopped me from being able to do any real movement for about 2 years. So even walking, you know, I'd do a 3K walk, you know, down around the block, and I'd be in absolute agony and have to lie on the floor for ages mm. afterwards. So it really, you know, here I was, a running coach and a personal trainer who couldn't actually do much movement at all. And I, you know, I love movement, couldn't do it, had to take some time off. And it took me a long time to really just listen to my body and enable myself to do that, because I kept trying to get back into it. Because I loved it, but also because I felt like, well, how can a running coach be a running coach if I can't even run? So I had this idea of my worth as a human being was tied around being a running coach, being a fitness professional and doing really well at that and being a runner. And it was only, I had to really look at all of that and say, you know, Jodie is not just a runner. You know, part of what I do is fitness training. Part of what I do is running, but I am not a runner. I'm Jodie. Yes. So, yeah, and that you know, took a lot of really looking within myself and thinking about that. And it's only now that it's like, okay, well, if I couldn't run for a while, I'd still be perfectly okay with who I am as a person.
Yeah. I think there'd be a lot of people tuning in at the moment who that's really resonating with, because we are almost conditioned to define ourselves through our achievements and define yes. ourselves through what we do
yeah.
as opposed to who we are.
Yeah.
And especially when we're chasing PBs and when we're chasing that extra distance and we go from 3Ks to 5Ks to 10Ks to a half to a marathon, if we don't knock out that half or that 10K or even that marathon, we're no less valuable.
No, exactly. And I guess I'd ask the people who really feel shattered when that doesn't happen, you know, they're really struggling to cope if they don't hit that PB, then I'd be saying, oh, you know, I think maybe you need to look at whether you've defined your own worth via this achievement. Because yes, we will get disappointed. Yes, it's awesome to have goals, but disappointment and completely shattered is really different. Mm. It's important to look at that and start thinking, okay, well, who am I aside from all these external things, you know, who am I? And it's not an easy thing. It's not like, you know, you ask the question and there's the answer.
Yes.
It's pondering, lots of pondering. But I think it's a really important thing to reflect on. Otherwise, we do go down that path of overtraining and you know, chasing the next thing, because I've seen so many people, they hinged everything on that PB, whether it's a triathlon or a, you know, a marathon or something, and then they achieve it, and then, well, what's the next thing? Because they've got to still be proving their worth.
Bigger, faster, stronger.
Yep. They are.
And, I mean, as I say, it's fantastic to progress. It's fantastic to have goals.
Yes.
But it does not define you.
So yes.
Again, like, I'm not showing the video, but I haven't been able to wipe the grin off my face for most of the podcast because, like, everything you're saying is just like, yep. So,
yeah.
Oh, man. So I guess, you know, you're based here in Melbourne. Healthy Balance Fitness is a Melbournean company, but you do so much work with the moderation movement and online, like your face is everywhere. How can people get in contact with you? How can they get more of Jody? How can they get more of Jody's philosophies? Like, tell us how we can reach out to you.
Sure. So yes, so Healthy Balance Fitness is in Melbourne. And you can, it's healthybalancefitness.com.au. But yeah, the Moderation Movement, I'm the co-founder of Moderation Movement with dietitian Zoe Nicholson. And you can find us, the best spot is on Facebook. So it's just Moderation Movement on Facebook. And yeah, so we post a lot of all of this about movement. We post about intuitive eating, about, you know, getting more in touch with our bodies, about body image, about, you know, embracing diversity. And yeah, so, you know, probably the Facebook's the best way to contact. But we also have a website, and we've got a couple of ebooks as well, one on intuitive movement and one on intuitive eating as well, that's on the website. But you can go through Facebook to find that link. And yeah, on Instagram as well. So yeah.
Which, for any Polka Dotsy fans who are actually listening to this, you need to go and follow the Moderation Movement. You need to go and follow Healthy Balance Fitness, because these wonderful, amazing people walk the talk. And I mean, what we do at Polka Dotsy is a little different, but I often sit at the feet and just worship what Jody and Zoe do. Like, it's incredible, and they're making such a difference to fitness, and they're making such a difference in the BOPO movement, and it's just so cool. So, yes.
Well, thank you so much, Chloe. It's awesome. And it's always great to connect with people with similar values and a similar approach.
I get so excited. They say never meet your heroes, but I'm just like, nah, meet them all.
We're all spreading together.
We need to do this. We need to do this. Yeah. All right, so you've got a really cool venture that you're doing at the moment, teaching fitness professionals about intuitive movement and some of the things that you're doing with Healthy Balance Fitness. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so one of the things that I think is really important for fitness professionals to learn about is making language more inclusive. And I think a lot of the language that's used in fitness is very body shaming. It's very, it takes people away from being intuitive with their own movement and their own bodies. So I put together a presentation that is for fitness professionals about what we can do to change our language and the evidence behind why we might do that as well. And, you know, the risk factors, and it's just looking at how we can all be a more intuitive movement type trainer. So if anyone's interested, if they've got a team of trainers that they'd like me to chat with, please get in touch via the website. So I'd love to do that.
That's absolutely awesome. And are you doing presentations at gym or group fitness organisations?
So either, you know, anywhere.
Okay.
Council facilities, you know, gyms, whatever, you know, if there's a group of fitness professionals who are interested in learning more about that, that would be great. And it's certainly not everyone's ready to hear that message.
No, I can understand that, but I also think that the time is nigh and there is a shift. There are amazing people pushing this, and do you know what? I literally think you're at the grassroots level of changing the world. So
I hope so. Let's wave our magic wands everywhere, Chloe.
For sure. All right. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, Jody. It has been an absolute blast talking to you. I will include all of your links in the transcript. And yeah, for those of you who are listening along, make sure you check out Healthy Balance Fitness on Facebook and Instagram and the Moderation Movement on Facebook and Instagram. Jody's doing amazing things.
Thank you so much, Chloe. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure.